Arise, therefore, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something pleasing to the Lord, God of Israel, and the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam today. And henceforth the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and root up Israel out of this good land that he has made to their fathers, and scatter them among the Euphrates, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give up Israel because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and made Israel to sin. So we do see that Jeroboam's offspring is going to be cut off. We see Jeroboam is going to meet his demise, have the kingdom ripped from him. But nowhere specifically do we say that he's going to be dying by the sword. Dying by the sword. And I just think that's significant, as I said, that Amaziah adds to Scripture by stating that it was prophesied that Jeroboam would die by the sword. Opponents of the gospel frequently misquote or add slash subtract from Scripture in an attempt to win an argument and or cast doubt on the truth of Scripture. As I said, we see in Scripture that Satan did this from the very beginning when he tempted Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. It's been well said that the best lies contain some measure of truth. And so we just need to recognize that some opposition to the gospel will attempt to sometimes utilize Scripture and twist that in a way that is not in accordance with the right interpretation of Scripture, not in accordance with the whole counsel of God and the whole Bible, and can potentially be leading some astray that were in opposition to us. I got six here, so two more. The next characteristic we're going to see is that opposition to the gospel often attacks a Christian's character and motivations. Opposition often attacks a Christian's character and motivations. We see that in verse 10, a lot in verse 10 today. But Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you. Amos has conspired against you. All right? And this is important because Amaziah is trying, again, to get Jeroboam riled up. And he's basically saying, hey, Amos's ministry, what Amos is about, is trying to take you down, Jeroboam. Trying to bring you away from your power and your position. And it's conspired to take you down. And that's significant because, brothers and sisters, we need to recognize Amos' main point, Amos' main motivation, was not to wipe out the throne of Jeroboam. It was to see Israel and Judah restored to God. It was to see the people of God repent of their sin and come back to Yahweh. Amos wasn't interested in a political upheaval. He wasn't interested in a governmental, riot. But rather, he wanted the people of God to come back. And so, Amaziah falsely accuses Amos of having the motivation to see Jeroboam removed from his throne. And we see the same thing, brothers and sisters, in the life of Jesus. What were the accusations, many of the accusations made by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and some of the other leaders of Jesus' day? They accused Jesus of what? Being against Caesar. They accused Jesus of being like Barabbas and trying to overthrow the government. When we know from studying the life and message of Jesus, that was not Jesus' main goal. Jesus was not interested in becoming a political messiah. He was not interested in gathering up the military of the day and overthrowing Caesar. He came to preach faith and repentance. He came to see lost sinners reunited with God. He came to seek and save the lost, what he says in his own words. He came that lost sheep would be found, that hopeless sinners would be given compassionate hope. That people bound and trapped in darkness would see the light of life through Jesus. And so oftentimes when we're living out our Christian lives, people, and we're sharing about Jesus, people will say, well, you're just a troublemaker. You're just trying to divide. You're just trying to, forward your agenda, your political agenda. Or you're just trying to do and say this because you're trying to get something out of this. And sometimes opponents of our ministry will cast wrong motivations and wrong characteristics in our lives, just as they did Jesus and just as they did Amos. I hope you're seeing, as we've been moving along, that every single one of these was experienced in the life of Jesus. Every single one of these was experienced in the life of Jesus, and no doubt will also be and did also experience in Jesus' followers, Jesus' prophets. Our final characteristic today is that we need to recognize that opposition will never fully and finally and ultimately hinder God's message. We see in verse 17 here that it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. So this is Amos speaking on behalf of the Lord to Amaziah. Okay? And so what do we see here? We see that Amaziah's mission is thwarted. Amaziah's desire to see Amos and Amos's message eliminated, it backfires. It backfires on him, and rather, and because of this opposition, God declares a message of judgment, a message of destruction for Amaziah. This is a staunch warning to those who would oppose gospel messengers. This is a very sobering text that shows us that nothing will hinder the work of God's prophets, ultimately, God's people. God has our backs. God will support us, and God will ultimately render appropriate judgment to opponents of the gospel. He's going to do it in His way and in His time, which is why we still experience so much opposition, pain, and persecution today, and our brothers and sisters do today across the world. But we can trust that thus says the Lord, this opposition is not final. This opposition will not overcome me. We can say that confidently because we see in our text today that Amaziah doesn't get the last word. Amaziah, his purpose, his mission, doesn't come to fruition. That God backs up Amos and God's word shines forth. Amaziah's opposition does not deter Amos from faithfully sharing the truth God gave him to share. Amos didn't shy away from continuing to faithfully share God's word. And we can trust him. And I think it's also significant that, God does not change his message in the face of opposition. Rather, he backs up his prophet and denounces judgment. You know, it could have been very easy for Amos to say, you know what, you're right. You're right. I'm just so burdened, and there's just so much persecution and so much resistance in sharing God's message. I'm done. I'm out. I'm not going to keep preaching God's message. I'm just going to share something that doesn't offend the Israelites anymore. But we don't see Amos do that. We see Amos continue to faithfully share, continue to preach the truth of God's word. And it was a harsh message to Amaziah, but he did it. He did it in faithfulness to God. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, let's take a look at four practical takeaways from our text, and this will conclude our time today. So number one, a Christian's testimony has great power in the face of opposition. That's our first takeaway. A Christian's testimony has great power in the face of opposition. We see that in verses 14 and 15. What do we see? We see Amaziah in verse 12 say to Amos, "O seer," which is another word for prophet, "prophet, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there, prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and is a temple of the kingdom." Okay? So, you know, Amaziah is okay with Amos' preaching. He just doesn't want it done in Israel. He says, "Hey, get it out of here," right? And people will say that all the day today. Well, and just do that somewhere else, you know. Just you Christians, you go away and you go do that somewhere else. But look at Amos' response. What does Amos say? Amos shares his testimony. Amos says in verse 14, "Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, 'I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" So Amos' response to Amaziah's indictment and accusation is to share his testimony. Is to share that, no, God called me. God took me away from following the flock. He changed my life, and he saved me, and now he's called me on mission to be a messenger for his purposes. And so a Christian's testimony has great power in the face of opposition. So much power that Revelation 12:11 says this, "And they have conquered him, the evil one, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death." So brothers and sisters, if you're experiencing opposition, don't be afraid to share your testimony. Don't be afraid to share God's work in your life. It has great power in the face of opposition. Number two, God has your back, so don't waver from your calling in the face of opposition. God has your back, but don't waver from your calling. Right? In verse 15, as I read earlier, it says, "The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel." Amos would have been disobeying God if he would have just said, "You know what, Amaziah, you're right. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go prophesy to Judah." Amos knew that God had called them to prophesy to Israel, amongst other nations, but Israel specifically. And so he does not shy away from that message. He does not shy away from that mission. He knew what he was called to do, and he knew God had his back, and even in the face of opposition, he continued to press forward. Okay? And there's a great lesson for us today. Maybe God's called you into some type of ministry. Maybe God's called you to serve in the church in a particular capacity, like a deacon or an elder. Maybe God's put you at a particular place, a school, a college. He's given you a calling. Trust that he has your back and don't waver from that calling just because you're being opposed. Remember what I said earlier, that opposition isn't necessarily a sign that something's wrong, that God is not with you, as Amaziah accused. Rather, it could be a sign that you're right where you're supposed to be. Number three, trust that words of judgment might be exactly what your hearers need to hear. Amaziah gives this indictment, an accusation against Amos. And what does Amos say in response, right? We've looked at verses 17. He doesn't shy away. He doesn't back down. He says some very harsh words to Amaziah. "Your wife shall be as a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. and your land shall be divided with a measuring line. You're going to have no offspring. Your land's going to be divided up and given away. Your wife's going to be a prostitute. And you yourself shall die in an unclean land. Wow. Sometimes in our lives, when we're sharing with people, when we're doing ministry, we have to share tough things with people. We do it in a loving and compassionate manner, but always we are faithful to do it. Okay? And that's a good lesson for us. Sometimes a tough word might be exactly what our hearers needed to hear. It was exactly what Amaziah needed to hear from Amos. Fourthly and finally, brothers and sisters, we need to believe deep in our hearts that no opposition we face will ever overcome the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to believe that. We need to remember that. We need to hold on to that truth, that even in the face of the toughest trial and tribulation that you might be experiencing, that will ultimately not overcome you, and that ultimately when we see persecution, when we see terrible things, churches being burned down, governmental leaders rounding up Christians, even to the point of martyrdom, we can pray deeply and we can trust deeply that even despite that horror, the gospel will not be overcome. Jesus Christ has won the victory. Jesus Christ is our leader, and Jesus Christ is faithful to take care of his saints and bring them home into heaven on the last day. And so, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, let's remember our main point today, and that is that faithful gospel ministry is not without some opposition. You may be experiencing some opposition right now. You may be exactly where you're supposed to be. So you hang in there, you press forward, and you remember these six characteristics, and maybe it'll be helpful for you as you move forward in your ministry, your calling, whatever that may be. Okay? Let's close in a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I thoroughly enjoyed this passage and looking forward to preaching this passage. I think it is so significant and offers so much for us, even all these years later. Even in the 7 or 8 verses, Lord, Amos did not shy away from opposition. He knew that it was part of the prophet's life, and he knew that God was going to be faithful in the midst of that, Lord. So help us to recall that this week, and help us to, by your Spirit, be bold in our proclamations and to love others well. And Lord, bless us, keep us safe. Go before us, look out over us as we do your work on mission for you.